Checky check, check one, two, checky, checky check. Today's episode, we learned that the microphone works better if you plug it in. You can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, and motherfucking moan. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinions up your ass so Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Either you are wrong or I am right. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely third possibility, a gin martini shaken, not stirred. Vodka martinis are gross, and I don't care what James Bond says, but shaking it is the correct way to make a martini, because the action of shaking the martini in the shaker breaks the ice up and puts little shards of ice crystals into the martini. This is stating the obvious, the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect. Homes in on, destroys, stupid motherfucking statist, all over the place, because there's a statist seeking guidance system. Of course, it's not hard to find a statist. You just go out in public, throw a rock, you're gonna hit a statist. If only we could hit the statist with the 50 caliber machine gun. Now that would be glorious. I mean, hitting a statist with a rock, that's fun enough. But hitting a statist with a, you wouldn't hit the statist with the 50 caliber machine gun. You would hit the statist with the rounds that are fired out of the 50 caliber machine gun. I am pretty buff, but I am not buff enough to swing 50 caliber machine gun. 50 caliber machine guns are heavy. Hi there, how's it going? I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. In the control room, right over there on the other side of the glass, seen and not heard the way women should be, is the lovely and adorable Randy. We're going to try to get through the notes that I was supposed to do on the last episode of the podcast and didn't do, but we all know how that goes. Let me start off with this, before I forget, and we'll just jump right into, I finished the, and if you want to send us email, it's God, dog spelled backwards, G-O-D at CYNLIBSOC.com, and of course CYNLIBSOC on the Twitterverse. You can find me, I'm out there. Come find me, whatever. Send me your death threats. I'll post screenshots of those on the website. I love death threats, because it's just great evidence of how, I mean, think about it. When you're a fucking statist or a feminist statist or whatever though you are, and somebody says something you disagree with, if the only retaliation you have is to threaten them, that should be an indicator to you that you don't really have any kind of intellectual backing for what you're saying. Speaking of threats, let's get back to World War II. Finished the World War II documentary that I've been talking about, World War II Behind Closed Doors. First of all, I need to issue a correction because I was operating off my scribbled notes. In a previous episode talking about the documentary, I had said that Stalin announced at a meeting with Churchill and Roosevelt that after the war, he wanted to kill 50,000 to 100,000 German civilians as a way of punishing Germany. Okay, I got that wrong. The numbers were right, but I got the target wrong. It was not civilians he wanted to kill. He wanted to kill 50,000 to 100,000 of the German military and political leaders. That's who he wanted to have killed off, not civilians. What else will anyone... Oh, yes, because, of course, this ties nicely back into the whole Confederate flag thing. We have to ban the Confederate flag because it's racist, of course, because we all know that pieces of cloth have ideological points of view and such as that. So a piece of cloth can, of course, be racist because it has sentience and all this other stuff. And, of course, the Nazi flag is banned because it's racist. The question is, considering how many ethnic groups Stalin, the Soviet Union, purged, killed, starved, relocated, executed, imprisoned, is there going to be any movement to ban the Soviet flag? I suspect not, because, of course, the Soviets were full communist, which is, of course, what the political correctness crowd is in love with, communism. And ultimately, as much as you right-wing statists don't want to admit this, right-wing statism is ultimately just as communist as left-wing statism. At some point, as right-wing statist as you are, at some point, there are aspects of other people's lives, actions, and properties that you want to control. And the inability of the right-wing statist to figure this out is one of the reasons why right-wing statism is not the answer. You know, I'll just go into this right now, because it's not on the notes, but fuck the notes, right? I've been listening to Bernard Chapin. He's got a YouTube channel. Chapin's Inferno is his thing. What's his tagline? A flaming cauldron of politically incorrect commentary? I think that's how his tagline goes. Something very close to that. And I listened to him because he was recommended by Aaron Cleary. So I went over to check him out. I'm going to listen to him a little bit more. Right now, I'm not really sold. I mean, he's interesting. He makes a lot of really good points. He's entertaining. Ain't my main... And, you know, as I think, this is one of the reasons, this is one of the things I like about Aaron, is that while Aaron is evidently a Republican, I'm guessing. Actually, see, he just did a video something about, is he a Republican? I haven't watched it yet. We'll find out. But the point is, Aaron talks about numbers and common sense and shit, which I really appreciate. Chapin goes along the same lines, but here's the problem I'm having with Chapin, is that he is very obviously a mouthpiece for the Republican Party. And, well, I mean, everybody's a mouthpiece for stuff. That's not the problem. Here's the problem, is, and this isn't just Chapin, this is all the right-wing statists. Rush Limbaugh. Any fucking right, Sean Hannity, any right-wing statist you want to fucking trot out to me. Here's the problem with the right-wing statist in the United States of America, is that they think, you know, and Chapin is right. He's said in a couple of videos, he has essentially said, and I'm paraphrasing, we're not going to solve our problems by voting for left-wing politicians. You know, we're not going to solve our problems by voting for collectivist. Okay, he's right about that. He's completely right. What he's wrong about is that we're not going to solve our problems by voting. He doesn't get that. All these right-wing statists, Chapin, Limbaugh, Hannity, even, you know, Julie Berensky, what's the other guy I'm trying to think about? He does The Blaze. He used to be on Fox News till they fired him. And everybody, right? All these people, well, yeah, the answer to them is voting Republican. And this, to me, illustrates the, you know, just as the right-wing statists sit here and talk about the feminist and the left-wing statist and say they can't face reality, it's amazing how the right-wing statist is completely cut off from reality. If our problems could be solved by voting Republican, explain to me why we still have problems, because I'm pretty fucking sure in the past, people in the United States have in fact voted Republican. I'm pretty fucking sure. You can prove me wrong if you have data and evidence. I'm pretty fucking sure that there have been Republican presidents. Pretty fucking sure that's happened. And I'm pretty fucking sure that the Republican Party has controlled the House and controlled the Senate, even controlled the Supreme Court. And yet, things are fucked up as shit. And you've got all these fucking right-wing statists running around saying that the solution to the problems is to vote Republican. And you have this complete inability to see that you're a dumb fuck. I don't know how to put this any simpler. If voting Republican could fix X, Y, and Z, then why in the fuck aren't X, Y, and Z fixed? Now, the right-wing statist will say, well, but the Democrats come back and fuck it up. Well, it doesn't fucking matter. It still illustrates the point that voting Republican didn't fucking fix it. And okay, let's say we vote Republican in 2016. Is that the next election? Let's say people vote Republican. And even though we all know Hillary Clinton's going to win, I saw something the other day. Hillary Clinton is suffering in the polls. People, the polls do not determine who is the president of the United States. The NSA, the Department of Homeland Security, the CIA, the corporations, those are the people who determine who the president... Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, no, your vote. Your vote matters. No, your vote. Your vote. When you vote. Voting is very serious. Voting is the ultimate expression of democracy. Yeah, your vote, of course, determines who the president of the United States will be. Obama was elected by the people, not the corporations and the CIA and the NSA. Because, of course, a black man with a Nobel Peace Prize who has bombed, what, 7 countries in 6 years? He can get away with that. Can you imagine if a Republican bombed 7 countries in 6 years and was killing people with drones? Can you imagine how outraged the anti-war left-wing statist would be? Can you imagine how the media would be attacking this person? As I've said before, and I'll say it again right now, this is the only reason why I support, what am I looking for here? I would like to see the President of the United States, well, not exist, obviously, but again, we're living in reality, not ANCAP paradise. In reality, I prefer the President of the United States to be a Republican, because when the President is a Republican, the media polls doesn't have his cock in their mouth, and they actually pay attention to what's going on, and every time he farts, it's fucking critiqued from one end to the other. The problem, from my perspective, with having a Democrat president isn't that things don't get fixed and socialism and destruction of family values and all this other horse shit that the right-wing statists whine about. My main problem with Democrat presidents is that the media just spends all their time kissing their ass. When you've got a right-wing president, the media, to an extent, comes out of their coma and pays attention. Now, of course, there's still a certain degree of ass-kissing because, of course, the media knows that if they criticize the president too much, they might lose their White House access, such as when Hussein Obama attempted to kick Fox News out of the press pool. And we saw the media all come together to support Fox News because they all recognize that, ooh, shit, if that happens to Fox, that might happen to us when there's a Republican. We can't let this be set as a precedent. So that's the only value I see in having a Republican president. All these right-wing statists who are, if you vote Republican. It's now, if that could fix anything, shit would be fixed. And the inability of the right-wing statists to figure this shit out is further illustration of the stupidity overall of statists and, of course, the failure of democracy. Let's get back to World War II. Not really sure how I got here from there. So, oh yeah, Bernard Chapin, So anyhow, the point is that Bernard Chapin, he's interesting. I don't know if I'm going to keep listening just because his message is Republican. Vote Republican. Left-wingers are evil. You know, he did this thing that there's people telling me there's no difference between the left and the right, and there is. Again, if you're an anarcho-capitalist, I don't need to explain to you that right-wing statist and left-wing statist are the same fucking people. Yeah, these people want to kill you because you're a faggot. These people want to kill you because you're not a faggot. You know, these people want to kill you because you got an abortion. These people want to kill you because you think abortion is wrong. These people want to kill you because you believe in God. These people want to kill you because you don't believe in God. The point is, right-wing statist, left-wing statist, both of them want to fucking tax you. They want to take your money away under the threat of force so they can spend it bombing other countries. There's no fucking difference between the left and the right when it comes to war in foreign countries. Do you see one fucking Republican trying to stop Obama bombing 7 countries in 6 years? Do you see one fucking... No. I mean, wait, somebody's going to say Rand Paul. Fuck Rand Paul. Fuck him in his ass. Rand Paul is playing a role. He's got a niche market. He's playing to it. Rand Paul doesn't give a flying fuck about dead people in foreign countries any more than anybody else in the government does. So if you're an ANCAP, you already understand right-wing statist and left-wing statist are the same fucking thing. If you're not an anarcho-capitalist, then you're not smart enough to understand that right-wing statist or left-wing statist are the same thing. You're like Chapin. You think there's some real, honest, tangible difference between Republicans and Democrats, and that while Democrats are fucking everything up, Republicans could be elected and they could just magically fix the economy. And oh, we could go back. We could go back to the golden ages. Which, not really sure when the fucking golden ages were, but the Republicans are always going to take us back to the golden ages, or of course, forward to the shining city on the hill, which is illuminated by the 1,000 points of light. But we can only hope for the change, for the change, for the hope, as we continue forward. Back to World War II, where a bunch of right-wing statists were trying to kill each other. Let's see, we did that. Oh yes, then of course, after the war is over, what does Stalin do? He starts purging all of his military commanders again. It was in my notes here. See, Zhukov, the Marshal Zhukov, who was pivotal in winning the war, because of course when the war started, Stalin didn't have very many decent, didn't have very many competent military commanders because he killed them all because he was scared of them. Stalin was just paranoid as fuck. Kind of reminds me of Obama. So Stalin's, after the war, Stalin's killing off his... Well, I shouldn't say killing off. Demoting, intimidating, degrading, imprisoning, such as that, his military commanders. And his Air Force commander, Stalin threatened at the party with, this guy better do his job or I'm going to have him shot. Yep, like an idiot, I didn't write in my notes. Did Stalin actually have the guy killed? I can't remember. If you want to know, watch the documentary. It's really good. And I should take more complete notes in the future instead of relying on my memory such as it is. In England, there was a great victory parade, of course, because we got to show off. All the countries who fought for the Allies in World War II were represented in the victory parade, except for Poland. Back to Poland. Isn't it so fascinating how Poland was, in theory, the country that everybody went to war to save, and Poland just got the biggest ass-fucking. Invaded by the Nazis, invaded by the Soviets, invaded by the Nazis, invaded by the Soviets, had their borders determined by other countries, had the Nazis and the Soviets killing off their people, and then they get excluded from the victory parade. Oh, God. The great quotes. This is about a Soviet officer who was in Poland killing Polish civilians and officers and executing people, said, quote, I didn't know we were doing anything wrong. Unquote. Ah, the beauty of state. See, that's the beauty of statism, is you don't have to think. You're in the middle of a war. There are large factions of people killing each other. You're seeing the people around you, and possibly even participating in, the rape of women. You're shooting civilians. You're executing prisoners of war. And you're such a piece of shit that you can sit here in front of a camera and say, with all honesty, I didn't know we were doing anything wrong. That's statism. That's it. That is the root of statism. Statism is not the government. It's not the corporations. Statism is the 99% just walking around going, well, I didn't know I was doing anything wrong when I killed other people because Stalin said it was okay. That's statism, folks. Then, of course, after the Soviets, almost said after the Nazis liberated, the Nazis didn't liberate the concentration camps. After the Soviets liberated some of the concentration camps, they immediately started using them for their own purpose, and in one particular concentration camp the Nazis took over, they herded 7,000 people into that camp and killed them off. So again, when is the flag of the Soviet Union going to be banned as a symbol of racism and hatred? Well, the answer is never, because left-wing statists worship communism. That is their ultimate goal, is to achieve a communist society. All right, what's next on this show? Did I do that? Oh! Then there's one other thing I want to talk about in regards to that, because it came up in the documentary, and it was some quote. I don't remember the quote. I don't remember the context. I talked about this in an earlier episode of the podcast, but some moron said something, 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 and then threw out the end justifies the means. Again, this is statism. Statists will often trot this out as a justification for their laws, their imprisonments, their taxes, their rules or regulations, their murder, their wars, their secret negotiations, their alphabet agencies, whatever the fuck it may be. The end justifies the means. And this, of course, is also the central pillar of utilitarianism, which I despise most political philosophies other than anarcho-capitalism. But I despise utilitarianism a whole lot more. Utilitarianism, which is the basis of left-wing statism, is the most broken, selfish, unsustainable, unjustifiable philosophical school of reasoning in existence. And in utilitarianism, we always will ultimately hear that the end justifies the means because the greatest amount of happiness, the greatest amount of good, yada, yada, yada. Here's all I want to talk about with the end justifies the means. When you hear somebody spew this shit from their mouth, and if you want to argue with them, and I mean argue as in the sense of forming a coherent argument, not argue as in you're throwing rolling pins at people and screaming. Because I know I have to define words like argument because stupid people listening to this podcast who don't know anything about philosophy don't know what an argument is. If you want to argue with a fucking idiot about the end justifies the means, keep in mind that there is no end. The whole idea that you can justify a means by the end, well, there is no end because everything continues forward. Right? Well, we're going to justify Obamacare because the end justifies the means. So we passed Obamacare, now everybody has health care. Well, first of all, they actually don't. But more importantly, let's say everybody now had health care. It's not like all time stops when everyone gets health care. It's not like once every person has health care, there's no more future. Nothing, there are things continue to happen. I know this is hard to believe if you're a statist, you're really confused right now. After every person in the United States magically has this free health care, things continue to happen. There are still events. And some of those events will be influenced by the fact that everyone has this magical health care. And some of these events will be influenced by the fact that there's a bureaucracy there to run, operate, support, maintain this magical health care. Some of these events will be influenced by the fact that people are having to pay money they weren't paying before for this magical health care. Future events will be influenced by doctors, nurses, administrators, other people, hospitals, clinics, organizations, entities, individuals making decisions based on the consequences of this magical health care that everybody now has. So everyone having the magical health care is not the end, because at that point, time doesn't stop happening. The end does not justify the means, because there is no fucking end. I know it's really difficult for you to understand. That's why you're a statist piece of shit. All right. Did the end justify the means? Oh yeah, let me get this. This is also not on the notes, because I sure as fuck don't want to talk about what's on the notes. In the previous edition of Stating the Obvious, I talked briefly about the video, which I have still not watched, in which a bunch of homosexual men talk about having sex with 8-year-old children when they were adults. And I was talking about how homosexuality is being used as something for people to hide behind, how they get special treatment, yada, 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 yada. I want to illustrate my point. I want to illustrate why I spend time ragging on the GLBTKKK by using this. If you think homosexual people do not get special privileges because they're homosexual, let me ask you this hypothetical question. Let's say that a 40-year-old man put a video on YouTube in which he said, "I had sex with an 8-year-old girl." How long do you think it would be before the police went looking for this man? Probably not very long. Now, here's a video on YouTube that shows homosexual men saying they had sex with 8-year-old boys. Are the police looking for any of these men? No, of course not. Because they're homosexuals. Because they're courageous, they're brave, and they're enlightened, and they're diverse, and they're tolerant, they're multicultural. And this is what I'm talking about when I say that I'll be happy to accept homosexuals when they stop playing the privilege card and when they stop expecting specialized treatment and receiving specialized treatment, again, from the state, I guarantee you, if freaking quote-unquote hetero... My brain went in two directions there. I'll finish the thought that may not be solid. If heterosexual white men put videos of themselves on YouTube talking about having sex with underage children, because there's children that aren't underage, if heterosexual white men with jobs went on YouTube and posted a video saying, I had sex with a 17-year-old girl, the police would come looking for them, much less had sex with an 8-year-old girl. But if you're a 40-year-old man and you had sex with an 8-year-old boy, see, that's socially acceptable. That is something the GLBTKKK crowd celebrates. That's just an expression of your sexuality, and it's an expression of rejecting the binary and transcending the gender norms that are forced upon people by a conformist-oriented patriarchy and all this other horse shit. So when you homosexuals are whining about how oppressed you are, just keep that in mind. Okay, now, where am I at? I could do my notes, or do I want to do, you know, screw it, I'll talk about picking up girls later. Maybe in another podcast. Maybe in the next one I'll talk about picking up girls. Or if I have time left over. Alright, let's get to actual fucking nuts. Talking about statism, because I haven't talked about statism enough lately on this show. Failure to identify. I don't mean identify like, are you a boy or a girl? Are you a tiz or a tay? Are you a fay or a fee? Are you a male to female tranny or a female to male tranny? See, this is right now I'm making fun of this, and this is why. Because you people can be on YouTube, and yes, I know they didn't post the videos, it was undercover video, I don't give a shit. So let's say somebody got an undercover video of a 40-year-old white man saying, I had sex with a 16-year-old girl. The police would come for him. He's a pedophile, he's a child molester. No, he's a white man with a job, and that's what you're really upset about. When you got homosexuals on the YouTube going, yeah, we had sex with an 8-year-old boy. I can't tell you how old I was. I'd go to jail. Yeah, you would, except you won't, because you're a homosexual. The police aren't going to come for you, because you're a privileged class. But, oh, you're so fucking oppressed. I mean, you get to fuck 8-year-old boys. You are so oppressed by the patriarchy. Oh, it's just terrible, the amount of oppression that the GLBT KKK community has to undergo. I mean, God, they're allowed to fuck 8-year-old boys. This is really oppressive. Okay, anyway, let me move on from that. Let's talk about failure to identify. This is from a newspaper down in Texas. Listen to this. Meanwhile, in a separate incident, on the afternoon of February 28th, Officer Joshua Estes made a pedestrian stop in the 500 block of East Converse on a subject walking on the roadway. I have to change pages here. Where the fuck is it? Walking on the roadway where a sidewalk is provided, which is a citable offense. Okay. It is a citable offense to walk on the roadway if there's a sidewalk there. Okay, but wait, it gets better. The male refused to identify himself to Estes nor to Sergeant Randy Meekin when he arrived on the scene. The male, later identified as Joshua Ellison, was arrested and charged with failure to identify, a Class C misdemeanor. He was taken directly to the Colorado County Jail and booked. Speaking of World War II, speaking of Nazi Germany, show me your papers. You can be put in jail for failing to identify yourself. But of course, we have to keep in mind the government has every right to put people in prison for not identifying themselves when they're walking on the road, when there's a sidewalk present. Because of course, without the government, there would be no roads. Now you might say, well, he's walking on the road. Okay, first of all, this is in a small town. Second of all, walking on the road on the edge of the road? Walking on the road in the middle of the road? Was there any traffic on the road? Was he crossing the road? Was he walking down the middle of the road for a reason? And if we're going to have this kind of statism, how about this? Let's have it illegal to walk in the fucking bike lane when you're a goddamn pedestrian. Because as a bike rider here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, I am so fucking tired of pedestrians standing in the motherfucking bike lane. So it's a fucking law, it's a, what do you call it, crime to walk in the fucking road when there's a sidewalk? Okay, great. If we're gonna have statism, how about this? Let's make it a fucking crime to walk in the goddamn bike lane when there's a motherfucking sidewalk. You goddamn fucking people, get the fuck out of the goddamn bike lane. I'm riding the other day, there's like this group of people. It's this big fucking bike lane. There's a group of people standing on the bike lane, taking up both fucking lanes, standing there running their goddamn mouths. Why didn't some fucking pig come over there and motherfucking fucking cite those fucking people, ask them to goddamn identify, and put them in a fucking cage? Get the fuck out of the bike lane. Okay. Failure to identify. Yep. And of course, at some point, and people will say I'm a conspiracy therapist. They're conspiracy therapist. Dude, that's, hold on. Conspiracy therapist. I kind of like that. Conspiracy therapist. Now, you may say to me, I'm going back to the homosexuals. You may say to me, but great one, not all homosexuals are pedophiles. And I agree with that. This is true. The problem is, the ones who are pedophiles can hide behind the homosexuality, and all the other homosexuals will defend them. Right? Not all Muslims cut off people's heads and rape 14-year-old girls and then stone them to death for not being virgins anymore. Not all Muslims fly buildings into airplanes. But the ones that do, they're really good. Because let me tell you, I don't know if you've ever flown a building before. But it's hard to get them to take off. And then once the building is actually in the air, steering it good enough to hit something as small as an airplane, it's not easy. Not all Muslims fly airplanes into buildings, but some of them do. And they hide behind, you can't have a picture of Muhammad, and they hide behind the fucking religion of peace, and they have all these people throughout our society right now today who are sheltering them and protecting them and saying, oh, you can't say anything bad about the Muslims. And it's the same thing with with the homosexuals. Not all homosexuals are fucking 8-year-old boys. But the ones who are are hiding behind their homosexuality, and the ones who are being defended and protected by the GLBT KKK. And they're being protected by the femistatist. And they're being protected by the Democrats. And they're being protected by the left-wing statist. Failure to identify. At some point in the future, I am not a conspiracy therapist. Well, some people say I am. At some point in the future, there's going to be some mandatory ID chip that has to be implanted in everybody. It may or may not happen in my lifetime, but it will happen, I promise you. It'll be about the same time that Google invents some kind of chip they can put in people's brains that allows them to access the internet directly. And that'll be a changing point in our societal evolution. But at some point this will all go away because you'll have to have an RFID chip inside of you. And just as the police will be able to shut down your automobile, remote control, talked about that in the previous episode, they'll also just be able to do a little scan, pick up your signals, and immediately identify who you are and everybody in a given area. But until then, failure to identify. Now, I'm not a lawyer. Just like I'm not a conspiracy therapist, not a lawyer, but so don't, this is not legal advice. Check this out on your own. But it seems to me I recall reading somewhere one time, two times, three times a lady, that you don't have to identify yourself to police officers unless you are being detained, arrested, or otherwise officially, formally accused of a crime, or at least under suspicion. Although I suppose he was walking in the street when there's a sidewalk there. I guess that's a crime. Well, it is a crime. It says so in the newspaper. It must be true. Failure to identify. Welcome to Nazi America. Let me see your papers. Speaking of seeing things, I saw another video by, what's his name? I don't remember. It's the same guy who did the video I talked about and suggested you watch about women hitting the wall. He's one of the MGTO guys. Anyway, I watched another, we're going to make fun of Virgin Toes now, and maybe transition into talking to girls. I watched another two videos that he did, which were about the not all women are like that phenomena. And if I remember, I'll put the videos in the show notes. If I don't remember, too bad. They're worth watching because here he did a very good job. It's two videos. He did a very good job starting with not all women are like that and why is this not wrong. And he worked through it utilizing very good philosophy and logic. If you're not familiar with what actual philosophy sounds like, if you don't watch Stefan Molyneux on a regular basis, this is sort of a good introduction. He goes through and he constructs syllogisms and he puts forth premises to support theses and reach valid conclusions, and he talks about the difference between a valid, I think in this video series, he talks about the difference between a valid and a true syllogism and other things like that. He does important things like defining his terms. You know, he points out, if I've said this, now I have to define my terms. He defines my terms. So he goes through and he very rigorously constructs his philosophical argument. So if you've never heard actual philosophy, you know, if you think that shit like the end justifies the means is actual philosophy because you've gotten your education from reading blog posts by statists and reading bumper stickers and public education, he does a good job of showing you what philosophy looks and sounds like. And I think the two videos together are somewhere around an hour and 10 minutes. And he goes through this thing in order to support his thesis that, yes, all women are like that. That is to say, all women are capable of getting married to you and then divorcing you and taking half of what you have. All women are hypergamous. All women are this. All women are that. And ultimately, what he gets to in the end, is that his conclusion is that while not every woman at any particular moment, or not every woman at every moment is being hypergamous, yada, 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 his ultimate conclusion is that every woman has the potential to be hypergamous. Therefore, every woman is like that. Because for those of you who are like, what the fuck are you talking about? I will say to you, well, women are all hypergamous. You know, a woman can be dating a man, but as soon as she finds a man who's better than him, she's going to either dump him and go with the better man, or she's just going to have sex with the other man and still date the other guy. And the femistatist and the femisimp. So I'll say, well, not every woman is like that. And his point is that, no, every woman is like that. Every woman... You know, and he uses some very good examples. He brings up, for example, menstruation. He says, not every woman is menstruating, right? Some women are too young to menstruate. Some women have reached menopause. They don't menstruate anymore. But every woman at some point in her life, because she is a woman, has menstruated. So they all either have or have the potential to. And the not all women are like that argument is, in essence, the exact same thing. And again, he builds up to this point where basically his conclusion is, yes, all women are like that because all women have the potential to yada. All women have the potential to misogyny. All women have the potential, well, actually, all women have the potential to hypergamy. Whatever it may be. And on one hand, I applaud his logical, philosophical thinking, his reasoning. It's a well thought out video. He obviously, you know, he's not like me. He didn't just turn on the microphone with some fucking scribbled notes that I can't half-ass read and just start babbling. On the other hand, his conclusion was that all women have the potential to have sex with men who aren't their husbands. And I thought to myself, no shit. On one hand, and I say this with 100% sincerity, on one hand, it is impressive and admirable that he went through all of that logical reasoning to arrive at the conclusion all women have the potential to be quote-unquote like that, and that he has all of that logical, philosophical, reasoned, explained, defined, laid out basis for his conclusion. I mean, he didn't just read a fucking bumper sticker and come up with that. He's got solid thought process behind it. On the other hand, the fact that you have to spend an hour and 10 minutes fucking getting around to the point of figuring out that, yes, every woman might fuck around on her husband if she wants to, illustrates that maybe you need to go talk to a girl. Maybe you need a life. That's a lot of reasoning and a lot of logic to arrive at something that, God fucking forbid that I should fucking bring this up, but common sense and life experience kind of tell you. Furthermore, a problem with this is, of course, his... I would say it's not a problem. It's a downside. His same line of reasoning that says, yes, every woman has the potential to be a cunt is the same line of reasoning that the femistatist used to say every man is a rapist. You can say to the femistatist, well, there's a man over here. This man over here is a virgin. He's never had sex. This virgin toe over here in his basement making videos has never had sex. He's never even seen a girl other than on the internet, if you exclude his mother, and he's never raped a woman. The femistatist will say to you, but he has the potential to rape women because patriarchy. Yes, all humans have all sorts of fucking potential. I have the potential to rape women. I have the potential to cheat on my husband. I have the potential to... come up with another fucking example. I can't come up with an example right now. I had the potential to have sex with 8-year-old boys and then have me saying that in a YouTube video, but I wouldn't get arrested for that because as soon as I had sex with an 8-year-old boy, I'd be heterosexual and I could hide behind the rainbow. I could wrap myself in the rainbow flag. You know, considering the followers of the rainbow flag support, defend, and protect and shield pedophiles, is the rainbow flag going to be banned because it's racist? Because it's a symbol of hate speech? Oh wait, I forgot. Having sex with 8-year-old boys, if you're a man, is perfectly okay because it's loving and caring and it's tolerance and diversity and it's opening those young men up to a new side of themselves, because many of those young 8-year-old boys may in fact be women. They may have been born with the minds of women and they're trapped. They're trapped in a male body. And having sex with an older man will help them to transcend the limitations that have been imposed upon them by the patriarchy since they were born. The patriarchy has tried to force those 8-year-old boys to think they're boys instead of girls, which is what they were naturally meant to be. There's a Monty Python skit, the Nudge Nudge Wink Wink skit. It's two guys, and the one comes in, and he's talking to the other guy, and he's going, oh, you're married, are you? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I'll see if I can find this skit on YouTube and post it. And it's like, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, oh, your wife, is she a player? Does she like photography? And the guy's like, well, yeah, she likes Oh, does your wife like sports? Yeah, she likes sports. And there's this big build-up, and finally, the nudge, nudge, wink guy says, well, you know, you've been with a woman, right? I mean, you've had sex. And the guy drinking his beer says, well, yes, I've... And the nudge, nudge, wink guy says, what's it like? And that's what the virgin toes are like. The virgin toes, they do all this build-up. They make this 1 hour and 10 minute video about how all women have the potential to cheat on their husbands. And it's just like, they don't know what it's like to have sex with a woman. Like, fuck! Just go out and talk to some girls. I'm always right.